This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everyone? It is Friday night. Time to talk independent comics and independent wrestling here on Indie Alley. What's happening, Fred?
What's up, Andrew?
Oh, you know, the same old. I can talk this week. I'm not drinking tea. Boy, was I teed out.
Man, you got teabagged?
No, I did not get teabagged. I got teed out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and then for people, we fired Joey because he's... hates NWA, so he's been fired this week.
We felt he's a little overexposed, and you know, we wanted to give a couple of other people a shot at the mic, you know, let someone else shine this week, so we sat him out this week.
Yeah, so I have my imaginary friend here, Steve. He'll be filling in for Joey.
Steve sounds like a big AAA guy.
Yeah, I'm really into it.
Lucha, lucha.
Yeah. No, Joey's in D.C. He's actually on the bus on the way back from D.C. because he's been on a trip all week, school trip. So, yeah, can't wait to hear the stories.
Oh, yeah. Is it first time away by himself?
Yeah, and he doesn't answer his phone when I text him. So, yeah, he forgot who paid for the trip.
Oh, yeah, that happens rather quickly. The very generic answer you'll probably get, my battery's low, Dad.
So I said, Joe, do you have pictures? And he was like, yeah, I'll show you. They're on my Snapchat. I was like, oh, you show all your friends, but not me, huh? Okay, cool.
Dude. I think of events that my kids go to, I see maybe one out of 100 photos for that reason. Everything is Snapchat now. It's your fault that you're not hip. Sorry, there's nothing we can do about it, but I'm not getting a Snapchat.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get hip because last night I was on UrbanDictionary.com learning all the cool words and phrases. So I've heard a lot of weird sexual positions, things like that.
Oh, my God.
I know when something's cringy or crunchy, like that type of stuff. Yeah, I'm down.
Are you now? Yeah. I have this feeling that you are, like, still behind. Because if it's on Urban Dictionary, it's probably not cool anymore.
Yeah. But don't look up Alabama Hot Pocket.
Oh, Jesus. Were you inspired by Money Shot last week or what the hell?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah. That's not – if that's in Money Shot, shout out to Tim Seeley for making that happen.
I have a feeling that's a Sarah Beattie call, but yeah. Man. Wow. Well, we're not going to go into any fish sticks this week. We're going to be a little tamer, I think. The comics are a little mellower, a little more serious probably, except for the first one. The first one can be fun. We're going to go with Mall Number 3. Warfare spreads through the mall as insidious secrets are unearthed. Below, Rowan and Andre, meet a new clan who pits them against a fabled beast in a game of life and death. Written by Michael Morenci and Gary Dauberman. Art by Zach Hartong. Colors by Addison Duke. Letters by Jim Campbell. This book is published by Vault the Mall.
Okay, this book has a lot of social commentary, or it could teach you some things, because it's what happens in modern day society. It's called Divide and Conquer, and they keep people on guessing what's gonna happen. They keep them busy, not wondering, like keeping people distracted so that they can get away with stuff. And some things I didn't see coming happened. I was really thrown off by that. But the main part is, like, the Foot Locker. Okay, there's a scene with the Foot Locker guy. And he is, like, watching an old video to tell him how to, like, with shoes, you know, consumerism and things like that, you know, hold back some Jordans so that people don't, so people want them. So even though you have some pears, said pears, in the back of the store, pretend that they're all gone because supply and demand. And, you know, when your friends see it or your classmates and stuff like that, it develops a need. And when people will do anything for that need. And, man, it sounds like Black Friday's approaching soon.
yeah, we're going to the most wonderful time of the year. That's
why. Yeah, but it was interesting that, like, this was thrown in here. You know, and then also, like, the two main families that kind of run this town or this mall kind of has a lot of commentary of political parties, maybe. I don't know. Like, that two, you know, are always in control, constant things, trying to help you with certain things, you know, trying to keep you busy so they can get that bread. But how do you feel about this book, Andrew?
Yeah, this book is still kind of fun. I mean,
yeah,
I got a little lost in the whole, like, underground thing, but it was fun. It was kind of dystopian, and that's where it finally felt like it was like a society that fell apart, where so far on the top it's been like kind of almost comedic, like you have the different people that are in the different stores.
Yeah,
and then we got underneath, and now that's like these, like, I don't know, like barbarian women, crazy Amazonians down there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the above world is like consumerism, mm-hmm. but the below is kind of like minimalists.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, that is a good example. But they're also like separatists. They don't want anything to do with the people above. They feel like it's like by sharing it. They're socialists too, because everything is like, remember, everything is about everybody. You don't try to stand out on your own.
Those damn commies.
Oh boy, we may have waded into a pile of shit on this one. It's a fun comic. They're in a mall and they kill people and chase stuff around.
yeah, right.
But yeah, it's pretty interesting. And the ending was kind of cool. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah, what I liked about it was, you know, they had to run the gauntlet because of Ronan. She brought Andre down there, and he wasn't supposed to be down there because he's from above. And, you know, she believed in him and things like that. And he was trying to get this videotape to prove that he is innocent. He didn't cause the murder in the first issue. But later we find out that his brother shows up and takes that said tape. Mm-hmm. So there goes, you know, they keep it in-house and they'll sell their own family just to stay ahead, to keep people wondering. Because they don't want the truth to be released, you know. I don't know where that would happen anywhere else, but, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and when the gauntlets part happened, I was like, oh man, they're gonna run the gauntlet. I'm like, this is gonna be some American Gladiator shit, like where's Titan, where's mm-hmm. you know, that stuff. Did you watch that show?
Yes, I did. That was a good show.
Oh yeah, I always wanted to be Nitro. I think that's why I work out so much.
What was the big, who was Zap? Wasn't Zap one of the women? I think Zap.
Yes, and then there was Siren. I was a big Nitro guy. He just looked like a douchebag, and I wanted to be a douchebag my whole life. I'm for real. I wanted to put on my Schmedium shirts. I don't do it often, but I like to rock the Schmediums, you know, because he worked for that.
Was he like one of the original bros?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He does remind you of Matt Riddle, but without the weed.
Yeah, he was doing something else.
Right. He was doing blow.
It was the 80s. You know?
Yeah.
So that's where this mall thing. But yeah, it's a fun comic book. I like it a lot. What's up with that creepy clown? Do you think it's his brother or do you think it's somebody else?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I think it might be his brother.
Did you stare at the coloring like I did to see if he was a black guy?
Yeah, I did look at it, but didn't... But his brother had arms. And his brother had like an orange shirt, but the clown had like a green shirt, so that threw me off. So then I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just assume just because he had the same color arms.
Yeah, because I can't be doing that.
No, you can't do that. Nope, that's not cool. That's not who we are. Nope. But yeah, I'm totally into this, and I thought it was like really cool because when I did start going to college and stuff, I majored in marketing and stuff, and to see that video where the guy's, you know, basically talking them through the shoes and stuff, I was like, oh, these dirty fucks right here.
Yep.
But it makes sense because I did have a pair of those when they first came out, those first Jordan 1s.
Yeah, don't they say anything, something like, there could be consequences to this, but that's not our problem or our fault. Like, kind of like insinuating, you know, how people were getting shot over those, the Jordans when they first came out.
Or remember, like, the Cabbage Patch Kids, the first time I used to see old ladies go to blows for that stuff. And I'll be like, wow, these people are even.
Okay.
Like, the first ever Cabbage Patch dolls. I'm like, man, people are, just for a freaking doll.
Yep.
But, you know, that's how people are. I mean, they say when you develop that need or you see that, you kind of get the envy or the jealousy that your neighbors or your classmates may have something that you can't have, you'll do anything for it. And it just proves, like, and that's where they, you know.
They still do it. They've done it with some of the consoles. I remember, was it PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3? They pulled that shit on a Christmas where there was a limited amount and they made it hard to find. I can't remember. It was 2 or 3.
I don't remember. I wasn't much of a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are, but I'm not. They know when all the stuff comes out. way before them. They weren't even a twinkle in my eye.
But you weren't playing video games. What the hell were you doing?
We don't want to talk about that stuff.
Okay, Nitro. Let's move on to plot number two. The plot. Number two. Secrets fester in the Blaine family. And in their home, Chase uncovers a piece of history best left hidden, while Mackenzie explores the fraught past between her uncle and Reese. Story by Tim Daniels and Michael Morrissey. Art by Joshua Hickson. Colors by Jordan Boyd. Lettered by Jim Campbell. Published by Vault. The plot. So we get Michael Morrissey twice.
Yep, the 2-4, the daily double. Yep. This book is a lot about ghosts, and even maybe some ghosts in Chase Blaine's his closet, would you say? Because he's what I get from this book is Chase is kind of like the type of guy that runs away from things and doesn't face those ghosts. And at the end of this book, he's gonna face those, because even what's her name, is it Reese? She shows up and tells him that he's been scared, he's kind of like a runner and things like that, and he needs to face these things. But what I like about this book is that it's kind of like part psychological thriller, part like ghost story, and we get a lot of commentary on here too with things, but it has to do with like the town and things like that. Like, you have to understand the past to confront it. You get a lot of, like, narrative about, like, that stuff, and I really liked it. But my favorite part about this book has to be, like, the art and the colors. The art by Hickson and the colors is outstanding. Seeing the ghost in the background of each panels. I'm not, like, scared of it, but, like, you know, if you see it and stuff, like, panel for panel. Like, let's say if I bought this on Comixology and that ghost popped up at the back. I don't know. Maybe I might jump a little. I don't know. But I'm big into this book. I like the dialogue. I like how it's played out. It's given like a history lesson. And I'm kind of wondering like the creepiness of the town. Like, what the hell's going on? Because these ghosts are popping up all over, and they're giving hints of it. Like, even the teachers in the classroom. How do you feel about this book?
Yeah, I went to it the first time, and I'm going to go back again. It has a little Lock and Key. Mm-hmm. Not as good, but similar again. Like, there's this larger story. The school kind of teacher knows kind of, like in Lock and Key, like at school she finds out more about her her parents and all that stuff. Just like I'm getting a little bit of that. But then I also, this episode felt like an episode of American Horror Story. That subtle, like you said, you see little glimpses of ghosts, little glimpses of images. Mm-hmm. He's brushing his teeth and he spits out that stuff that no one else sees but him. That's very like that. You know, you have those little startling scenes in American Horror Story that I like. I'm lost, to be honest. I don't know where the story's going, and I don't know what it means, what he discovered at the end of this. Like, is that his dad, or is that, you know, his great-grandfather, or what? We'll find that out. And does it have something to do with the earth? Like, everything seems to keep going back down to the dirt and roots and the earth. and the lake tries to take that little boy, and just all that stuff seems to go back down to there. So I'm wondering if that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it does feel like it gives like a Swamp Thing vibe, because that's what we got in the first issue as well, because that monster killed his brother in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that vibe. But what's with like Reese? She's like fascinated with these ghosts, so like she's all into it. Like she's some type of ghost whisperer.
Yeah, she's like a medium or something, and she can see things. Like she knew that little boy was in trouble.
Yeah.
And went directly to him and saved him.
Right. And what was weird to me was like she got out of the hospital and got there before the police, dude. And I was like, yeah. How is that possible? She's dressed, she's out of the hospital, and she makes it there before you. What kind of Barney Fife shit is this?
Yeah. It sounds like that cop stopped for donuts somewhere or something. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but it's really cool. I like the book. The art is really good. And one other thing, I really like this book, you kind of get a better understanding of the characters. They're fleshed out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We learned about Reese this issue, but we also see like Chase becoming not so much like a tool like the first issue. He's starting to understand how to take care of his niece and nephew, things like that, the progression with that, and just the type of character he was before, you know, because supposedly he did a little hanky panky with Reese in the past too. So
yeah, that was funny the way she just let it. She threw it out there for the granddaughter or the niece, all his dirty business. That was
she just put him.
I think she's a little on the wacky side. I would guess that she's been in and out of some mental institutions throughout the years. Yeah. And maybe she's not crazy, but she sees things because she has these medium-type powers. You know what I mean? Where she's, like you said, a ghost whisperer. And people have taken that as, you're a little loony and you need to be medicated and you need to be locked up here and there in these mental hospitals. Yeah.
So. What do you think about both of her and the nephew throwing up the black tar stuff? What do you think that's about?
See,
she mentions the house and the bog. Is that part of the bog or is that part of the ghost? Are the ghost inside these people? That's what I'm wondering.
See, are they ghosts or are they like plant spirits or some shit? That's why I go back to plants. You know, like it's like the earth has infected them. So they're throwing up like mud and gunk from the bog, like you said.
This seems like some Stephen King
stuff. Like the bog's been eating people for years. I'm going to go deep like these scary movies. Like the bog is this place that people threw bodies in going way back to the olden days, and so it's full of all these undead spirits. And
I like that.
Kind of like, I don't know, what's it like? Pet cemetery. Yeah, pet cemetery. You know, the pets are all buried in that that burial ground, and they come back to life. Maybe there's people down there that are going to come back to life, or their spirits are restless or something.
Yeah, it's like Pet Cemetery meets Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Like there you go. They're here.
Yes, they are. But yeah, it's a fun book. And you're right, the Joshua Hickson stuff is pretty cool because he has like a style that always looks like it's in the dark.
Yeah, and it's fitting because the book's called what, Plot 1974, so it kind of gives you that like vintage look too. So I like that a lot. I like it a lot. I think it's definitely a book to like keep your eye on. I mean, we just covered two Vault books back to back again. Didn't we do two books last week too, by the way?
Did we do two Vault books last week? Let's see. We did Resonant.
Yeah.
And
Money Shot.
Yeah. Money Shot. So we did do two Vault books last week. Uh-oh. Someone might call us a bunch of fanboys. We might be Vault fanboys. Holy shit, we're turning into fanboys.
I don't like the term fanboys.
Well, I don't either. I'm worried. Baby, we should say something bad about a Vault book real quick.
If you didn't buy a Vault book, you guys suck.
No, that's a fanboy thing. Oh. We got to say something bad about one. Like, oh, that one. Don't buy Vault. So no one thinks we're a fanboy. Oh, no.
Yeah,
we're in trouble now.
I haven't found a Vault book I didn't like, though.
Not even one. Not bad. Not bad. You are a fanboy, then.
No.
Because you can't just give 10s out. Five stars, perfect tens. That you don't do that.
No, we don't do scores.
Yeah,
scores are lame. Sorry, no scoring system here. No five stars, nothing.
No five candles, no nothing. No five beers, nothing.
No, I can't do that right now. I keep a high five, maybe.
Okay.
Does that count?
That'll work. Got to do the five-star frog splash when he gets back.
Yeah, he's going to get some when he shows up at 6 in the morning. You better believe that. He's going to get these hands.
All right, let's go to Roku number one. Can't be giving kids hands, man. Someone's going to report
it. It's a high five.
Okay.
To his face. I'm kidding.
Roku number one, we're going to be reported. How many lives must the lethal assassin Roku take in her first series? Killing her way around the globe, the deadly weapon called Roku will face a challenge she can't simply execute. Being bad has never been so fun. Written by Cullen Bunn. Art by Ramon F. Box. Colors by Stephanie Petrell. Letters by David Sharp. Valiant. The book is Roku.
Okay, here's what I know about Roku. She's like the deadliest woman in the Valiant universe. Is that correct? Like, that's what I... Or would you say LiveWire?
She's the deadliest assassin. Let's put it that way. She doesn't have... she doesn't have the kind of powers LiveWire has.
Right. No, I was gonna also follow that up with she's a super assassin, but...
Yeah,
and another thing I know is like her hair is like a Ginsu knife. It will slice, it will dice, and it will. I don't know if it'll make French fries, but you know, this book. Speaking of the Ginsu knife, were you like a Ginsu guy or a ShamWow guy?
Neither. I can honestly say I didn't buy any of that stuff.
No, but which commercial did you? Infomercial?
Oh, ShamWow.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that you're guy did about have like commercials. It's not even.
Yeah, that guy had like the O face all the time. He was like, "Hey, yeah, like, hey, I'm one of the world." My kids always do all these those infomercial things. But back to the book.
You'd be three sheets to the wind at 3 o'clock in the morning, all and half asleep, and he would come on and start shouting. You'd be all,
you'd be like, "Oh, I need to get that." Oh, no, not for another $5.99. I can get that. Okay. Back to the book. The book, the beginning of this book, it took place in like a club. A lot of bass. It made the sound, you know, made it booming. And it really brought me back to like a beginning of like the movie Blade with Wesley Snipes. But picture Roku in that atmosphere. And that's where we go straight like action. Lots of action. She starts whacking people like crazy, you know, and I dug a lot of that. It was a lot of narrative and just action. And one part of the book that I really liked is her hair went through these two guys and kind of made them look like a shish kebab, like it because it went right through them. And I was like, oh, wow. I thought that was very interesting. And I was like, originally when I seen that, I was like, I did the Joey Lawrence, like, whoa. You know, I did that real quick. But then, like, she's all over the world, too. Like, she was started from Hong Kong, I think. Then she went to New York. Then she went to, I think, Moscow. So I was like, man, she must get a lot of perks with her frequent flyer miles, you know, that type of stuff. But the art's really good. I thought it was a decent introduction. I don't know a whole lot about Roku. I'm more of a ninjack kind of guy and stuff like that, so... I haven't read a lot about it, so it was an interesting concept to me. And after reading the first part of this book and then reading the beginning of the second issue, the teaser, man, issue two is going to be amazing. I really dug that a lot. I thought this was a good introduction. If you're like new to it, I could follow it. I was wondering what you thought about this book.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear your thoughts because you didn't know what was going on and I was concerned that they made the choice of not telling you shit. You know, for somebody who's coming in out of nowhere and knew nothing about him, to go to our wrestling analogies, it was a spot fest. You know, they just came out and it was action, 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 kill, kill. Like the solicit said, kill, action, here, here, here. Issue's over. Who the hell is this woman? You know, that's what left you. And, okay, if you're into Vault, into Valiant, you know, you kind of know who she is and how important she is. But if someone new is like, well, what's this woman's story? But it seemed to not bug you. You seemed to not care. You seemed to enjoy it. And then the fact that they tossed that teaser on you was enough to give you a little insight into who she's gonna, who she is, because it gave you a little bit there.
I think what I liked about it is I'm a big, you know, we've talked about it. I'm big into like mob movies, so like hitman movies, action. So when you brought like all that action on in the beginning, you kind of get a story, a build up to the setting where they end up in Moscow. But I also got the feeling that Roku doesn't know who she is currently either.
Yeah.
So she's learning just as well as like new readers like myself is, who the hell is this person?
Do you want me to give you a little background on her, or would you rather just find out as you go along?
Yeah, I want to know, you know, like incite us.
Okay, so Roku was a martial art instructor who trained Ninjak. So she was his trainer, and she was his girlfriend. So there was, but she's killed, and she's gone.
Wait, she was his girlfriend. How'd she keep that hair from messing him up?
Did she just has that perfect control, tantric, keeps it all under control. But she's killed. But she's brought back to life, a la Jason Todd, and the people that brought her back to life. She joins a society called the Shadow Seven, and they're kind of like, I don't know, like the Hand, kind of. Think of that in Daredevil. And she's trained by a guy, and she becomes his major bodyguard, and she becomes Ninjak's basically his worst enemy. See, but Ninjak is aware of who she is and has that emotional attachment to her that she does not have back, because she doesn't really remember. So that goes to the whole, like you're saying, she doesn't remember. And every now and then she has little memory bursts of like remembering things. So she's like very conflicted, but she hates Ninjak for it, because in her mind, he's the reason she's dead. But it's just, you know, so that's the intrigue. And she's been around for a while. She's one of the most deadly assassins. That's what this organization turned her into, a deadly assassin. So she became his ultimate enemy. So that's basically what, you know, a quick rundown of who she is. So she's an assassin, and so she's on a mission, most likely, with all these are hits, like you said, the mob thing, these are hits that she's on. But to someone new, I was worried, okay, you think, oh man, is this like just Black Widow? We got the redhead in Russia, and then the blonde shows up, like the other Black Widow, to fight her, and it's like, ooh, I don't know, is this the right way to go? But it appeared to work with you. So
who is the blonde?
Yelena. I don't remember what Yelena's last name is. It's with a Y, Yelena. And
is she from the Psylords?
From the what?
Like the Psylord?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you meant what the name of the blonde one was in Marvel. Her name's Yelena. I don't know what her name is on this one. It doesn't list her name. So
no, I think like the suit made me think that like the Psylord type deal, but I wasn't sure. I could be, I'm most likely I'm wrong.
See, there is a little bit of psyot, but this is low-level psyot in comparison to, like you said, like Livewire, Faith, or some of the more high-end psyots. Definitely not. This is not a Bloodshot-level character, you know. But it's more the Ninjak universe. So that's training. It's they heal themselves with their training. They've learned these mystic arts, so they can live forever. A lot more of that stuff is going on. So this is more Iron Fist. That'd be the best way to describe it to people.
That's pretty sweet. I didn't know that. Like, she trained him, so that's pretty cool. Like, that makes me more interested in this title. So yeah,
you can go back and look. I got listed right here. Like, her first appearance is in Ninjak Volume 3. Number one, it was in March 2015. Matt Kent and Clay May are responsible for creating her. Clay Mann, excuse me, not Clay May. So Kent and Mann. Nice. So that's a duo right there.
It's pretty sweet. And if you're into like Hitman books, I definitely suggest to pick this one up. Especially if you read Killers, like that's the vibe I got from this one too. So I'm into it. And reading the teaser for issue 2 really sold it for me, that I was like, oh man, I can't wait to get issue 2, because you know, so I was like, man, I need to find out what's going on.
I'm with you. I'd like a little more of that Killers dialogue. I guess that would be my one critique, is that this didn't have, the Killers has that great banter.
Yeah, this book was mainly like narrative, but that's probably because there was so much freaking action right off the jump.
Yeah,
but it was amazing. Like you see her hair just going all over the place, just messing people up.
Yeah, and I don't know Ramon F. Box. He's a new artist to me. I don't think I've ever seen anything with his work. So, new guy. Well, that's all I have this week on the comic book stuff.
Right.
So I guess we can move on to a really fun week of wrestling, actually. It wasn't a super busy week, but it was fun, and it set up what's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah. Especially starting tonight.
Yeah, starting tonight. Oh, yeah, you got stuff to watch already. You ordered something. Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's going on, but I can wait.
Yeah, it's not like that's going to get spoiled unless you go on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah. Lesser stuff. But all right, let's wrestle, nerds. As we said, there's no Joey tonight. We'll try our best. We'll try our best. Please don't turn us off.
You hear that, Joe?
See, I wasn't going to tell him there was no Joey till this part. You told him up top. They may have turned off already. Yeah. They may have lost them all. There might have been a channel switch. So
we don't need those haters.
They're only here for the donuts, man. They're only here for the donuts.
It's messed up. It's not time to make the donuts anymore.
Well, we'll do our best to cover wrestling. We're just going to skip AAA because it's not a very good promotion anyway, Joey.
We should go into NWA, seeing he doesn't like it.
Yeah, I think we should. We should talk a little, and we should talk about some leg drops and some arm drags, a few headlocks, some good quality wrestling.
And Thunder Rosa.
Yes. So what'd you think of Thunder Rosa's premiere?
I thought it was huge. I thought that they brought her in and she was kind of like a breakout star. They kind of made her look like she was the biggest star in NWA currently.
Yeah.
Because she caused some drama and she took out the champ as well. And, even helped Marty Bell get her revenge on her. So maybe we were onto something last week when we were like, oh, she's Hispanic and she's Mexican. They know each other. Yeah.
I think she
seems
shit
to be
stir.
The direction they're going.
I think she's a shit stirrer. I think she's just getting the whole division in a kind of uproar.
Yeah. And I like, I noticed Marty Bell seems to be, is she Puerto Rican?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what I got from her shirt. So, yeah, it was really cool to see that. Just to see it happen, to see like a champ taken out, and she actually had some time, and you could hear her talk trash to the was it Vox?
Yep,
in
she
the
was
ring?
There with Ashley Vox,
and she was like, she was taunting her the whole time, and I was like, oh man. And I thought it was really cool because she was doing a lot of the kicks and stuff. And I know that Thunder Rosa actually is an MMA fighter. And she
it's tomorrow night or tonight she has her first fight.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So that's kind of cool that she was working on those kicks.
Nice. Yeah, I've been impressed. I've been impressed with the women so far. Ashley Vox has really impressed me. I've told you about her because I just watched, we'll get into later, Rise. And the Ashley Vox that's performing in NWA is performing very different than how she performs with her sister and the tag stuff. She's more flippy. But here she's taking an old school style. She's really embracing the style that NWA wants. And I like it. I like that she's showing that versatility and showing some toughness,
yeah.
Even though she's smaller. You know what I mean? She's looking pretty good in the ring with these girls.
Yeah, they do a lot of the Fabulous Moolah stuff from like the 80s. Yeah. Like a lot of hair pull, you know, that stuff.
A lot of forearms, a lot of crashing into each other in the corner and that kind of stuff. But she seems to be adapting to it very well, and she sells well. That's one of the things she does very well. She does sell. So being the smaller one, she's taking some of the bigger bumps from some of the larger, taller women.
But, do you think she's not smaller than Thunder Rosa, though, right? Thunder Rosa's smaller.
She's much thinner. Thunder Rosa's bigger, like cut and all that stuff, wide shoulders. Vox is actually pretty small. She's like a, gosh, who would I compare her to? Maybe a Candice LeRae. I'd say about Candice LeRae size.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa is pretty shredded. She's got that core. Like, she's abbed up big time.
She's got those wide shoulders from lifting it. Yeah, she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not super tall. I mean, Allison Kay is still probably the biggest woman they have. She's a bit tall woman.
Detroit's own. I think she's from here. We used to watch her at like VFW halls and things, or you know, shows around here. So we've seen her through the years.
Another one I watched today. She was in a match with who was she in the match with? I watched her with Taya Valkyrie in Rise. I just watched her today. It was last week's match, but I barely got a chance to watch it today, or last week's show. But yeah, her versus Taya. So it was pretty cool. Yeah. NWA champ, Impact champ. Going at it. It's pretty cool that they can work together. WWE.
We'll see after that Joey Ryan post.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Anything else in NWA you liked? I mean, Cabana got the win.
Yeah, I'm not, no offense to Colt, but I'm not, I don't know. I think that was the best match that they've had, was the Thunder Rosa match. I mean, other than like the tag stuff, like who was it? The Dawsons and Homicide I can't think of Kingston.
Eddie, yeah.
Yeah, like that was pretty decent. I mean, but it's, you know, I'm like I mentioned last week, I'm there for like the promos and things like that and getting the characters over. They're doing it the right way. Like, You don't have to figure out who, what's that, Ricky Starks? Is that his name, Ricky Starks?
Yeah, Ricky Starks.
Yeah, we're learning, you know, week by week who he is because he's telling us the things like that. Like, they're being able to tell their story. And what I also like is that it doesn't seem like it's written down. Like, these people are freestyling their stuff. Like, they just, hot mic, go.
Oh, yeah. They're totally freestyling with mistakes and all, man.
Yep.
They're just, sometimes they stumble a little and it's okay. Or sometimes the crowd gets them. Yeah. I mean, I got to give Sandow credit. What's his real name? He's doing pretty well considering they are trying to drown him out. Yeah. And he's still getting his little promos across as best as he can. That's not easy to do. Some people get rattled big time.
Yeah, he's having fun with it. Yeah, I did notice Marty Bell, like she stumbled one time and forgot her train of thought and started something new. But, you know, that's, people want realism. They want it real. Like, just let it happen. Not some guy, it's going, this is good shit. You need to say this, you know.
Yeah, because you can tell when they're reading it. So I like it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you make a few mistakes. I know it's real.
Yeah, you just want to feel it. You don't want it to be written by someone else.
Because when we get to AWA, I mean, you got to give those with passion and not feel scripted.
Yeah.
When we get to AEW, excuse me, because Cody nailed it. Yeah. All right. How about MLW? I didn't end up getting the pay per view. You did. Was it okay?
I thought it was okay, but I don't know, like the $20, if it was necessarily worth the $20, because I've seen the same type of stuff when they release it on YouTube. But I wanted to support them and, you know, check it out. There was only one title change, and it was the tag team belt. The Von Erichs got the win over the Dynasty. We knew that was going to happen, but it was kind of funny as Dynasty, what's the other guy's name? Not MJF, but the Richard. Is his name Richard?
Yeah, it is Richard. Fucking comics. I keep thinking Grayson.
Is it Holiday? Is that his name?
Holiday. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Richard Holiday.
He kind of made fun of the Von Erichs, which we've done in the past. Not on the show, I don't think. Because they're like, they're like a bunch of cowboys, but from Hawaii. Like, he did, like, a rant, like, that type of stuff. And he was like, and then MJF went off and was like, yeah, and they're so poor they can't even afford shoes. Like, and it was really funny, man. These guys, like, their promos stuff was great. I think MJF is leaving because at one of the parts, he kind of gives Holiday his sunglasses and was like, these are yours and stuff. So it seemed he was...
He's finally taking
It felt like that happened before the match. That's when I like looked at Joe and was like, yeah, they're about to drop the belts to them. And because
it makes sense.
Because I think MJF's going to get a push in AEW real soon.
I do too. I think he's going to play a major part in this pay-per-view and it's going to be push time. Plus, he did commentary on Dark.
It was amazing.
On Tuesday, and it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're starting to really use him. They're like, hey, we got this guy that can talk. It was great.
Yeah.
Because he didn't go full MJF. he actually put people over.
Yeah.
But he did it in the MJF way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I hate to admit it. I hate to admit that this ugly little dude is actually pretty good and resilient or stuff like that.
It reminded me a lot of like if you took a little Macho Man and put a little Bobby the Brain Heenan in there, and like you got, you know, Macho Man's like knowledge, but you also got like Heenan's smart ass comments, and that's what we got a lot of. And it was really good because after a while, you kind of like, I kind of forgot that it was him talking. Until he would make a, you know, he would say something funny or sarcastic, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's still doing this.
Yes. But, yeah, good. I'm glad you kind of liked it, at least. I don't know. I was sick part of it last week, and so I didn't watch a ton. Like I said, I barely watched Rise today. So,
yeah, I guess if one thing that I was happy about was that Austin Aries didn't beat Teddy Hart. I was hoping that didn't happen, and it didn't. So it was cool. Pillman got destroyed by Low-Key. He got knocked out.
Wow. And Davey Boy didn't win like I assumed.
No, no.
I think Davey Boy's going to be in the title picture. That's why.
Yeah, he probably have to be because that match was not amazing. I didn't think it was well. Fatu was great, but LA Park is not.
He's just not what he was.
No, he's not. I mean, you see the shape he's in. He's not a marathon runner. He's not good for those marathons.
He's not what he was. So. Yeah, I don't know if they were just trying to get some international audience with that. Maybe that's what it's for. You put on a Mexican star. They do show the show in South America and in Latin America. And they thought maybe that would help with their buyout by having him on the top of the card. And it gives you an excuse to put Selena in the mix too, and she took a pretty nasty bump.
Yeah, she did.
From what?
Yeah, it was. So. He put her through the table. Park did on accident. But yeah. Oh, this is one other thing. The Mance Warner. Who is it? Mance Warner. What's the guy from Jimmy Havoc? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Havoc, and that was I forgot the other guy in the match, but Jimmy Havoc and it was Bestia. They were all in the hardcore match. Mance Warner was the only one that took major bumps. I mean, Bestia had a few, but Havoc didn't do anything. And I was like, oh, they're protecting him because he's in AEW.
Wow.
Mance did some crazy stuff. He was blood everywhere. This dude is nuts. And he's on GCW tonight.
Yeah, you were telling me that. I don't know what's up with them the way they're using him. It's like, I don't understand. They need to, like... You know, it's okay to use him in the hardcore stuff, but I think they're wasting him. He needs to be involved in a few more feuds.
He keeps getting the wins doing it, but he takes the most punishment. He's a, what do they call him? The Southern psychopath?
Yeah, they're treating him like Mick Foley.
That's what happens. Yeah, you act like that when your parents are when you're inbred, so I guess.
Oh, man.
You know, where are your mom's, your brother, and your sisters, your cousin?
Yeah, Miller lights and red light on. Okay. All right, New Japan. New Japan is going to be in LA tomorrow. Another thing I'm looking forward to. It's a lot of gimmick matches, but there's a few that caught my eye. And I was telling you, I'm not really watching New Japan right now, and I think that's why. I feel like they're not giving us good one-on-one story matches right now, and maybe it's because they're saving it for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that that's what they're building up for, because that's their kind of like their WrestleMania Royal Rumble. There's a lot of good matches there, and I think, you know, when you run your talent as much as them, kind of want to keep them healthy going into that big pay-per-view.
So that's why you do all these group matches, and it's a way to get everybody on the card. And they're doing that American tour, so they want to show everybody off.
Yeah.
But without it kind of messing up storylines or messing up big events. So they keep them a little away from each other. Yeah, it makes sense. But it's for that reason I just haven't been watching New Japan very much. I heard that Hiromu Takahashi's back. I saw it on Twitter. I didn't actually watch it on the match. But
yeah, he showed up in, what was it, Will Ospreay's match?
The end of Ospreay's match, yeah.
And that's, they're setting up. Because they're going to wrestle each other at Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yep, for the belt.
See, and I think he never necessarily... I don't think he lost his belt. I think he lost because he was hurt. So I don't think he's ever taken a loss. Joe would know for sure. I'm pretty sure that's what Joey told me because he's into the Hello Kitty dude. I'm not. yes, Joe likes Hello Kitty. Ni hao. but yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm interested in the match because he's really good, and they're actually friends, so it's going to be a good match.
And he got hurt pretty bad, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he jacked his neck up pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's back already. Must be all that sake.
But it looks like it's going to be good, so I'm excited. I mean, the card for Wrestle Kingdom looks amazing, so I'll just be patient. I'll poke in here and there, but it's funny, you know, with so much stuff to watch, it's like, okay. Yeah. And I don't mind that I'm paying for it because it's there if I want to watch something.
Right.
If there's something cool, I can go check it out on demand, whatever I want to watch.
Plus, they put out so much content that you can't necessarily keep up with it. But when you know there's something on there like you want to watch, you have the time to like go watch it whenever. I mean, I'm not stressing $9 a month to pay for it and then just sit there, especially like the run that AEW, you know, new NWA, MLW, all these other things. You know, it'll always be there. You can't burn yourself out trying to keep up with everything. The fear of missing out.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's so much, and it's like you don't want to overdo it. I'm sure, like you said, if there's something good, I'll check it out. It's not like I can watch most of their stuff live anyway.
Right.
You know, it's happening in the middle of the night. So I rarely watch them live anyway. And they're like house shows. A lot of what they're showing right now are basically house shows.
Yeah.
Or they're similar, if you have Honor Club, they're similar to these little tours that ROH does where they go everywhere. But they're just like house shows. And don't get me wrong, there's some really killer wrestling.
Yeah.
If you want to watch some great Japanese wrestling, check it out. But with so much other stuff going on that's having more impact story-wise right now, that's why I'm not watching. Like the AEW, NXT, NWA are deep into their stories right now. So that's why those are taking precedent. They're prepping for pay-per-views. They're, you know, all that stuff. There's a lot going on. So they're my favorites right now. Let's see. Impact. The only thing I would say about Impact, because I'm not really watching either, but Sami Callihan is the champ. In your face, Cornette. Does this set up, like, are we going to get Tessa fighting for the world championship? Is that what this is all about? Because Sammy is willing to work with Tessa. So do we finally get that match, world championship match, Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan?
I think you will get that real soon. Because I think if her contract really does run out when it does, they put the belt on her, that means she's re-signing.
She's the biggest thing they got.
I mean, no offense to Brian Cage or, you know, Callihan, but she's like the hottest commodity. Like, if anybody was to leave that wrestling organization, they would want her over anyone there.
Yeah, I mean, it would break them without her. I mean, they have a great women's division, but she's like the crown jewel of the women's division. And, you know, they lost Johnny Mundo. He was good at doing good stories. They've pissed off Killer Cross to the point that he's never around. So they really are. They lost LAX. They're just not in the same place. And I'm not a fan of the ECW revival show. No. That's just me. I'm not into that. You know, if you're into the Rob Van Dam, Rhino feud, I mean, God bless you. That's cool if that's what you like. But I just, that's a step backwards for me. And they are not the guys I watched when I was younger. Not even close, you know.
No, it's not. I don't think it's, you know, that's cool like once every so many months or something. But like every week when they're taking away time from talent, then I find it ridiculous. I mean, you know, like you could put other guys on there like Moose, or, you know, they've been pushing like Eddie Edwards and things like that. Like, you could do current guys. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it, but there's a reason why they always have issues in that company.
Yeah. And they're not really like Van Damme's not using his stuff to bring someone up the way, say, Jericho is. You know, Jericho is helping creating stars for the future. Look what he's done with Guevara. You know, Jericho's turned Guevara into, and then what he did with Darby. You know, Jericho's been the guy that's brought two really good young talents that AEW, he's lifted them.
I think if we're talking about Jericho, I think that he's able to do something he's never done anywhere, and that's to lead a faction. And it's probably the best that somebody's done since Hulk Hogan leading NWO. Mm-hmm. Like, he's at that level because he's getting the opportunity to do it. He's calling the shots to do things. I mean, I really feel like going into this pay-per-view that everyone from the Inner Circle wins because they want to make it look like strong, you know. You want to make that faction look unbeatable, so you have to do that. So I think NXT is going to do the Undisputed Era is going to get all the W's too.
That makes sense. I didn't want to jump into that yet, but yeah, that makes sense. Really fast, I wanted to hit two more things before we get in deep into the AEW NXT thing. This is more me. You know, I love the women's wrestling. Two major things happen. Stardom, Bea Priestley lost her title to Mayu Iwatani, and I haven't had a chance to watch it. For people that don't know, Iwatani is excellent. She's one of three. When Stardom really became the top thing they became, there were three women leading it. It was Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, and Mayu. Thing is, Mayu kind of got herself involved with ROH. She was on that MSG show that was during WrestleMania week. She was part of that. But she kind of hasn't been used properly by them. So she kind of has just decided, I'll just stay in Japan and do my thing with Stardom. So she's also not maybe as adventurous as the other two, and she's content in Stardom, but she's as good as the other two. So for her, I can't wait to see the match. I haven't seen the match because Stardom, it's not live. You have to wait for them to put it up. But from the looks of it, her and B delivered another classic. But B's not the champ anymore, so maybe that frees B up to take a shot at the AEW thing. So I thought about that from that thing. And then the other one, on the Escalera, the Rise thing, I just wanted to hit one match. It was Shotzi Black's last match on the indies. And people don't know Shotzi. She's really cool. She's a character. She's like an Orange Cassidy or some of these other cool indie characters. If you watch indie wrestling, you've heard of Shotzi Black. And all I'm going to say is, Vince, Triple H, don't fuck this woman's gimmick up. Please do not fuck this woman's gimmick up. That's all. I just want to say that. She's cool, man. See, they're just going to turn her into the girl with the fucking green hair and take away all her character and her goofiness.
They're going to turn her into Snot Girl.
Yeah, they might. And speaking of comics, to me, she's kind of like a Tank Girl, roller derby kind of girl. You know, she's just a lot of character, totally. A lot of fun. It's very indie, but that's what makes her fun. She's like all these, like Jungle Boy, like Luchasaurus, like Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I saw her. I saw her in GCW, that pay-per-view, and she did, like, Jimmy Lloyd. She was in a match with him, and she stuck, like, a bunch of skewers in his head and stuff, like the wooden skewers. There was, like, eight or ten of them, and he looked like a porcupine. It was, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, she's one of those cool indie girls that, yeah. I mean, I'm happy for her, because she's probably going to make good money. I just worry that they won't get her, and they'll turn her into some generic something.
They'll do something
kind of like what they've done to Nikki Cross. You know what I mean? Nikki Cross was so much better.
She's a really good wrestler too, and they've kind of ruined her.
That's my concern. But oh well, that was my rant on that. Now let's get into that AEW NXT thing. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think, but actually, there's only two, only LAX and or what are they called? Proud and Loud or whatever the hell. And
Pride and Powerful.
There you go. Pride and Powerful.
Or is it Proud and Powerful?
I don't know.
See, that's where Joe comes in handy, and he's not here. But Steve hasn't said anything since we sat down here. Steve, you suck.
We're not talking about AAA.
Steve, you suck. Fuck you, Fred. What the fuck?
Where'd you find this kid?
I don't know.
Joey's closet.
Scuba Steve. Screw you, Scuba Steve.
But yeah, I think that you're right. They're going to win. I think Cody's going to lose. I know some people are saying because the stipulation that he'll win, and I think it's quite the opposite. I think it's a way to get him. I think it'll make what's going to end up happening, this is long-term booking, is every time things are going to come up, like Cody's going to be one of the number one ranked guys, and people are going to say, you should fight for the championship. You should take out this whoever the heel is. And he's going to say, no. I have to honor. I have to honor what I said. I have to honor. And it's just going to get fans. You know when you can't have something? Uh-huh. It's going to have that effect. Like fans are going to be, no, fuck the stipulation. We want Cody to fight. We want Cody to fight. It's just going to keep building that. And if they really like wait like almost a year, like almost to this time next year, people are going to be like going bonkers just to have him fight for the title again.
Do you think that he does, either he wins or Jericho drops the title before Wrestle Kingdom, because Jericho can't go to Wrestle Kingdom and lose that title to, you know, lose to Tanahashi. So you can't
have... I've thought about that one.
So does he lose that title, like he wins, Jericho keeps the title, but he loses the title on regular, on Wednesday night?
Oh, man. I don't know. I almost feel like, yeah, maybe, but I almost feel like they're going to be willing to take the loss to Tanahashi. I have a feeling that maybe they've just decided, fuck it. We can't control Jericho. He's going to lose to Tanahashi, and it's going to be a little bit of a black eye on us, but we'll just power through it and not even acknowledge it.
Or do the, like, is maybe New Japan, they're just like, it's going to be no contest or something. Like, no one wins or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the big if. But I still don't think that changes the fact. I don't think that's going to make Cody win. I still think Cody loses.
Yeah, weekend. I think.
And I think it's going to be because of MJF.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think it's his turn to screw him over, because he's kind of like, he kind of shows up and he helps out and stuff. But, yeah, you know, he's kind of this weasel dude that's just looking for the opportunity to stab somebody in the back. So, So what better way to do it is like Cody's winning and he's about to win the match and he just screws him over.
Yep, and it adds to that story I said, where people say, but you were screwed over. And he's all, nope. I said if I lost, I won't challenge. So it keeps adding to that storyline of like people saying, but yeah, but. And if he keeps that, and I mean, if they really are disciplined and they don't have him challenge for that title and just do some other things for a while, I think that they'll have money. People will be like begging to put him in that match, as popular as he is. And then you just focus on other people like... Maybe it's time for Moxley and Jericho.
Yeah. Do you think, like, if he does lose, or, you know, MJF interferes, do you think that eventually we could get, like, Sean Spears and MJF to start a faction with him?
Ooh, man. I just don't see MJF joining anybody. I feel like MJF will be his own man.
You don't think, like, I mean, he's in a faction and Dynasty, so.
Yeah, maybe. But I just feel like he's his own man. And maybe they give him a valet. I think he'd be great with a valet. Bring some of that kind of attitude he does in MLW, where he's the asshole valet. A little macho man, where he doesn't really treat his valet very well. If you pick the right woman, it could work. I don't know who it would be off the top of my head. But yeah, that might be an idea. I don't know. But MJF is destined for stardom. There's a lot. There's so many good young talent. I sent you a picture of the records, though. So Pac is the number two contender right now.
Yes.
And then Adam Page. And then I think it's Omega and then Moxley. I think that's the top five.
So
coming out of Saturday, who's the number one contender? Because you're going to have Page fight Pac. So one of them's losing.
But Omega's match doesn't count.
Ooh, that's true.
So does Adam Page get the W over Pac this time? To even
and then
it
Omega
up.
Leapfrogs them both.
Eventually, yes.
Or does Moxley argue his way into a title fight? I don't think they put the belt on Moxley either, because Moxley's going to Japan as well, so you bring the same problem.
I don't think I mean...
You don't want the AEW champion in a match with Lance Archer or Juice Robinson. You know what I mean? You just don't want that. But anyway, yeah, so you think that... I think it's going to be either Mox or Pac that fights him next. And I think Jericho keeps winning, personally. I think Jericho keeps the title going into next year for a while. There's no one's not going to take it off him until Omega, sadly. I think Omega's the one who gets the title off him. I know that bums you out a lot.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm more excited for a secondary title. Because right now I'm more excited for the Darbys and the Guevaras and the MJFs and all those guys. And I think, you know, there could be some really cool battles for that secondary title. Because those guys aren't going to get a shot at the major title. If they do, they're definitely not winning. No. So.
Yeah, I think they need to introduce a secondary title soon.
I think it could become super exciting if they do introduce a secondary title and they do it right. It could become like the go-to thing to watch. People will be excited because it'll be a young guy and you really won't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, if you were to pick Guevara against Darby, you don't really know who's going to win. You could speculate, but it's not 100%. What if you put, you know, Sean Spears against one of those guys. You really don't know exactly who's going to win. So I think it's more exciting than the major title where I think Jericho's hanging on for a while.
Right. Because, you know, Jericho is the youngest AEW champ of all time. So,
and the Inner Circle gimmick just started. Yeah. You know, you don't want to end that yet. You're just really getting rolling with that.
I think that what's going to happen is Guevara will get the secondary title, and then, you know, the LAX or whatever they're called, Santana or Ortiz, will get the tag titles real soon,
too. Tag belts. That makes sense.
Because if Tony Khan allows, you know, the Young Bucks to beat LAX, then, man, you're going to anger a lot of people.
Yeah, the Bucks have to lose. That's of all the matches that I think someone has to lose, I think the Bucks have
to lose. Because if this was what happens and they win, then they're going against everything that they've done. They've done everything correctly with the tag division, and that will be the first mistake if they win.
And then you have LAX take it off SCU.
Yeah.
That makes total sense to me. I'm okay with that. I like that.
They'll probably squash them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then I like Guevara getting the belt, beating like a Darby, by cheating.
Right, but then maybe like the next major pay-per-view or something, then maybe that title changes hands. But yeah. Right now, you know, like when MLW had Contra and they were looking strong, the way to do the faction is that this is your first faction in AEW, then you got to do it strong. These dudes, they all need belts. Or if they're not getting belts, then they're going in there and doing exactly what Santana Ortiz does every week. Just beat the crap out of everyone.
Yep, I'm with you. And then you think they're setting up for War Games? There's been a lot of talk about that. The way Cody came out and talked about the Elite versus the Inner Circle and the fact that War Games was created by Dusty. That was his idea. He created War Games back in the day.
But that's what WWE's next pay-per-view is, right?
For NXT.
Right.
But I guess it's kind of a way to, like, they want to take back what belongs to them, as I've been hearing.
So he renames it?
Oh, no, he just calls his War Games and says, War Games is mine. It's my dad's thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the Elite versus the Inner Circle. And, yeah, so they might do that. And I think the Elite versus the Inner Circle could be a pretty decent War Games.
Yeah, but after a while, people are going to get tired of the Elite stuff.
But it keeps the Bucks in the mix without putting titles on them.
That's true. It's just Kenny. I'm not a Kenny fan.
Yeah, I get you. Well, don't put Kenny in it. I'm with you 100%. You don't put Kenny. You put Hangman, Cody, and the Bucks or something like that. You know what I mean? You find a way to not put Kenny in it. I'm with you on that. And let Kenny... I have no idea what Kenny's next feud is, to be honest. Redeem himself against Pac? I don't know, but I'd like to see Moxley move on to something different. I'd like to see Mox with Jericho. I think that'd be fucking awesome. I really think they could really do some business together.
Right.
Now, I got into it this week about women's wrestling with some guy that wants AEW wrestling, women's wrestling, to be the level. And he even claims that he doesn't understand why they're not. He was comparing him to WWE. Not even NXT, mind you. WWE, and not understanding why, like, B. Priestley and Britt Baker's on the pre-show and just weird things. And I just couldn't get him to understand that they're not at the same level. I mean, am I wrong? We've talked about this a lot, and I really like the women's wrestling, but they have been really kind of shaky. You know, they're getting better, but they're not ready to have two matches on the main show. Am I kind of wrong on that? Or
no, I think that they put B. Priestley and Britt Baker on the pre-show because that's free. So if you're trying to draw people in to watch your product, why wouldn't you put B. Priestley and Britt Baker on their pre-show? You put your champ on the pay-per-view. And if you're trying to get people to buy your product, then you put Britt Baker and B. Priestley because that's the hottest thing that's going for the women right now. So I don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. If people are upset about that, then they need to really rethink what they want, because if you want this product to succeed, why wouldn't you put your best women's match there? I mean, I could see people saying, well, Sean Spears versus Joey Janela should be there. But how many people are going to buy it if they see Sean Spears and Joey Janela?
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I think you've got, you're right. B and Brit is the money match.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, but you can't elevate that over your title match.
Right. And if people see that, you know, as it being a free match and they get to watch it for free and they're saying, damn, if this is the free match, what else is going to be on there?
Exactly. And I don't think it's going to be resolved between you and me. I think this keeps going.
Oh, yeah. This is going for a long run because I think B is the perfect heel. No offense to Britt, but I think she's a little green. But I think it's all like they need more time together. They're not, you know, they constantly go into stardom or wherever else they're working, and they're not in the same area. Like, they don't have a performance center where they're practicing every week with each other. These people fly out, they come back. They fly out, they come back. They're not working with each other all the time. So you want them to work well with each other. But what I've seen the past 2 weeks is the women's matches have gotten better. You're getting, like, Big Swole. You're getting Mercedes Martinez, getting the Portuguese lady. I can't think of her name.
Shauna.
Yeah, they're all doing so much better than prior weeks. So they're actually building stars. They're not taking stars from somebody else and claiming they're theirs. They're building them. So you should be happy for that. You should be proud because they're doing something so different than everyone else.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that performance center thing. It just makes me crazy when you think to compare that these girls have been together for this little bit of time, kind of one show a week. These other girls are at the performance center doing mock matches like every other day, training, doing promo classes with like tons of coaches. Then they do NXT matches for a long time before they even get legit NXT matches. And then they finally get to WWE. So trying to compare, because they were saying, well, you think Riho and Britt Baker aren't stars. I go, well, let's quantify what star means. Can they become stars? Yes. But you cannot tell me that Riho and Britt Baker are Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair level. They're just not. Those women have been on major shows for a long time now. They've been on WrestleMania multiple times. I mean, you don't get a bigger stage than that. They've had so much coaching, you know.
And then, for to expect somebody to like just take something and go from what is it, week six, and to do things, but they might say, hey, they had this many pay per views. Okay, but they're still performing everywhere else. They're not just in one spot. They have to keep going back and forth, going from one company to another company. It hasn't, not everything has settled down yet. So, you know, you can't expect, like, okay, I train a lot of people. So I can't expect when I bring in the new person that I work out with and I say, hey, you do this, and next week you're going to be fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. That shit ain't happening. It's you have to learn to crawl before you walk. You have to walk before you run. That's its baby steps. And you have to understand that that's how it happens. There's so much sense of, like, we need it now type mentality that happens out there that people don't. They want to rush to the next thing. But as soon as, like, it gets to that level, they're the same people that's shitting on it. So, I mean, either way, no matter what, people are going to be unhappy.
Oh, yeah. You know, let's say you rush it. Let's say you do what everyone says. Put two women's matches on the regular shows. Put even the TV shows. And they keep bombing because they're not ready. What did you accomplish?
Yeah.
You just made these poor women look bad. You put what they've been doing is great. They put them on dark. They're out there with the same crowd, if they, you know, but they're on dark, so it's not the, they're not the focus, and they're getting better, and they're trying things, and then, like you said, you put them on a pre-show, and you just keep it. Like, I wondered what happened with Allie. Last week, I kind of got an idea what's happening with Allie. She came out with Sadie, and they were in that tag match with Mercedes, Martinez, and Swole. I think they're angling, trying to turn Allie and Sadie into a legit tag team. Like a real tag team. Yeah,
it does seem like they're going to have a tag team division, too, for women. It does. I do get that feeling. And I think that's good, too.
Maybe they're working on tag team stuff.
I think that's good, too, because now, you know, if they start tag teams, then you're getting even more women on TV. That means that because these contracts have been signed, they're going to be able to work more. So the more that they do it, it's repetition. The more you do stuff, you work with the same people, you're only going to get better. So you can't, you know, I mean, it's with anything. Just keep continuing to work together and stuff. You're only going to get better. To expect them to be like at the same level, then I question this. They still have higher ratings for 6 weeks. What's NXT's problem?
Yeah. I mean, and NXT has an incredible women's division, but those women didn't show up there overnight.
Right. No.
Okay. Those women, they've been working. They've been doing matches. Io learned how to wrestle. Io didn't come out and become a star. She was under Kyrie. You know, Baszler had to become a star slowly. All of them had to become stars. Rhea Ripley went to the UK and took her lumps. I mean, now they're stars.
True.
But they weren't stars before.
But the big major difference is they weren't traveling back and forth. They were in one area working day in and day out.
And then, you know, someone said, well, they didn't build up. Where was B to build up that feud with Britt? I don't know. She had a title defense in Stardom.
Yeah, she has a title in Japan.
an actual title defense, a major title defense over someone I just finished telling you, Mayu, who's like a big deal over there.
Yeah.
So she basically has a WrestleMania type match over in Japan. Excuse her for not being focused on the Britt Baker feud.
Yeah. Instead of complaining about like AEW stuff, how about talk about what happened in the NXT match where these people continue to get time? And NXT was like, oh, yeah, let's show more of our talent and see that match with Santana Garrett and stuff, who was obviously not ready to work a live event. And they allowed it. But no one's crapping on that. They rather talk about why is Riho on the main card, the pay-per-view? She's a champ. That's exactly. That's who has the belt. Champs are working that show.
And I think her matchup is perfect because it's with a wrestler that understands her style that's going to make her look good, because that's what needs to happen right now. The woman that's working with her is like a Japanese version of Natalya.
Yeah.
You know, when there's when WWE is trying to get a woman over, they fight Natalya.
She trained her, right? She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Freddie Mercury lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's like fundamentally awesome. She's been doing this for years. It's like Natalya. Whenever they want to put someone over in the WWE, they first have to wrestle with Natalya. Natalya makes everybody look better. She's never going to be the superstar herself, unfortunately. But
no, she can wrestle. She's one of the Kool-Aid drinkers that aren't complaining about the plane ride.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's a whole other... But yeah, let's go ahead and hit NXT then. I know it got close, but I wonder if it got close. Like, was it AEW fans going over there?
No.
Or was it Raw and SmackDown fans watching NXT for the first time because they wanted to see crossover stuff?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Is like fans, because they went to SmackDown, they did a little bit there, then they went to Raw, and they're like, oh, they teased Seth Rollins showing up. Things like that. They kind of showed like rehashing your steps and stuff like that. But they brought AJ Styles, which I was like, oh, here we go.
That's Bullet Club.
Yeah, that's Vince logic. He was like, wait, you guys were in Bullet Club? He was in Bullet Club? You go to NXT. Like that stuff. That I don't get that, man. I don't. It made no sense to me. Like
But Bullet Club just buried Bullet Club. They buried Balor. I tuned in this week to find out what was going on with Balor, and Balor wasn't even on the show.
Yeah, what on the NXT where Cole went out there and did the hit on AJ because of Balor, and that was kind of cool because I thought that was cool because then you're like, they kind of like showed like they were going to work together, but then that's where Cole jumped in, and I was like, oh, okay, good, they're not doing this angle, because I didn't want to see Gallows and AJ in it. I mean, that was different setting. I don't even think AJ was in Bullet Club when Finn was in it, because Finn was only in it for a few months before he went to WWE.
Yeah, they weren't in there together.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't like this brand crossover, because what it goes back to that whole WWE thing. Why are we rooting for brands? They make no sense. Why is Ciampa aligning himself with people he wants to beat because he wants Goldie back? Ciampa's whole goal is to get Goldie back. Why is he working with Cole and working with Undisputed Era and working with Riddle and working? Well, that's not Ciampa. Ciampa doesn't care about those people. He doesn't even get along with our Gargano 50% of the time, and that's his best friend.
Yeah.
So why would he be working just, what, for the honor of NXT?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
They need to let Ciampa do the Stone Cold thing like they let Becky Lynch do, like they, because that's who he is. He's a loner. He's like Jon Moxley of AEW. You know, yep. That type of stuff. He's only in it, like, he'll have his friends, but, like, you don't know if you're, like, friends because, you know, you keep your enemies as close as your friends.
And you know they're leaning into it. This helps SmackDown. This doesn't
help. Yeah, that's NXT. All it is. It's all to up their numbers for there because they know that NXT has, you know, the viewers and stuff like that. So that's why they keep integrating. And that's why they're getting... You know, their numbers have went up, but...
It's not going to last.
You know, TNT, when they originally started, they said that they only expected AEW to get 500,000 viewers a week. They're still almost 400,000 over that. And that's at a down week. They were at 1 million+. So, yeah. I mean, they're pretty much killing it, and they're happy. I'm pretty sure that the numbers after the pay-per-view... We'll get more viewers because the people that didn't buy the pay-per-view want to know what happened at the pay-per-view.
Yep. By nature, most shows after a pay-per-view do well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to do well. Yep. Moving forward on that, screw off this SmackDown. You're just using the guys. And you know why? It's because it's Survivor Series. And I'm telling you, Raw versus SmackDown... Who the hell would give a shit? Because there hasn't been a real brand split in years.
So
who the hell wants to watch Raw or SmackDown?
That's why they added NXT, because you get the, you know, you have the Viking Raider, is it Viking Raider, whatever the hell they are. And then isn't it like Undisputed Errors in it? So you get Red Dragon, basically Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. And then who's the other tag team in it? I don't even know who the champs are there. I don't watch it.
Yeah, but, I don't watch it either.
But, like, it's a bunch of, like, dream matches that, you know, were made on the... Oh, it's Gallows and Anderson, I think. So it's Gallows, Anderson, the Viking Raiders, and then the Undisputed Era. Now, when you put all those in there, that's like... All they did was put a bunch of indie matches together that dream fanboys just, like, nutting all over the place because of this stuff, but...
But it shows what hypocrites those WWE fans are, because all those are going to be a spot fest.
Yeah.
There's no story to that.
No.
There's no reason why these teams should be fighting each other. There's no history. There's no animosity. There's no nothing.
It's just Vince trying to get his numbers up because, you know, he's looking at ratings just like his buddy does.
So, yeah. So I know I'm down on it, but I think it's a farce. And I think that for people to use this is to attack AEW really pisses me off, because AEW is doing something very different. AEW is building something. People that like AEW are having fun. I had fun this week. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
WCW ending with all the brawling.
Yeah.
You know, the fans were totally into it all. It's getting better. There was more promos is what something I wanted. There were more promos. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, people just need to give it some time. Six freaking shows, people.
Yeah.
Well, six freaking shows, but yeah. Oh, I can't wait for the pay-per-view this weekend. I think it's going to be outstanding. Want to quickly make some predictions. I'll try to remember as many matches as I can. Pac versus Paige.
I want Pac to win, but I think Paige wins.
I'm going with Pac, but I think you're probably right. Mox versus Omega.
I don't want Kenny to win anything.
I'm going Mox because it doesn't, because it's unsanctioned. It's definitely Mox. Right. Cody Jericho.
I think Jericho retains, but I'd be happy if Cody won.
Bucks versus whatever the hell they're called. Santana and Ortiz.
Santana and Ortiz.
Me too. Santana and Ortiz. It better be. That's the one that'll piss me off if it doesn't. Sean Spears versus Joey Janela.
Sean Spears.
Ooh, I really would like Janela to steal that, but you're probably right.
I think Sean Spears needs to accumulate more wins so that he gets in the picture.
Actually, I would like that to have gone a little longer. I think that could have been a fun feud. What else is left? Oh, Riho versus Emi Sakura.
Riho, she's going to have the belt for a while.
I think that's it. Oh, the tag match, which could end up being a show stealer. Lucha Bros, SCU, Private Party.
I think SCU wins, but Private Party gets pinned. That way, Lucha Bros still looks strong.
And are we ready? After watching Trent Beretta kick some ass as a singles, are we ready for a Lucha Bros to kind of do some single stuff? I'm ready.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, a lot of their tag dudes could all be singles and be amazing. I think from every tag team that they have.
Yeah, has somebody that could do that. Yeah, it's time. I think that's how you get things interesting again, like you don't have the same matches after all this.
Yeah. I think when the Luchasaurus comes back, I think he's going to get... I don't think it's going to be necessarily a tag team thing. I think he's going to get pushed for a title picture real soon.
So, the main title or that secondary title?
I could see him get the main title, too. I think he's that much over. I mean, he's a big fella that can do some crazy stuff. I mean...
Man, him and Dustin Rhodes, that'd be a good... That'd be a nice feud to start him off with.
I mean, then they
Dustin can... Dustin will make him look so good.
Then they can just laugh at Vince and be like, look, we got a dinosaur beating you, and you've been around since he's been there. Get it? Vince is old like a dinosaur. See what?
Old like a dinosaur. Gotcha. Yeah, I think the sky's the limit. I'm very excited for AEW. I'm glad it exists. Yeah. I watch it live every week. It's exciting. It's really exciting. It's what I missed about wrestling, which the other ones didn't do for me.
Yeah, it's wrestling. It's not entertainment.
And NXT, get back to what you gave me last week. I loved last week. Get back to that shit.
I think that's why their numbers also went up, because people assumed it would be better, but I don't think it was better this week.
No, hells no. The only good thing that I really liked out of it is Dunn got a win back against whatever the hell his name is. Damian Priest.
And I think the NXT fans didn't like the Raw people coming because they were chanting, go back to NXT or Raw.
Go back to Raw?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Dude, if Seth Rollins goes down there, he's still going to get booed. I know they're probably thinking, hey, you just send guys down to NXT and then they'll get cheered again. Look at what happened with Balor. Look at what happened with AJ and the Bullet Club. I go, I don't think they get it that those guys were popular and they're mad that the way they treated them up there.
Yeah.
They don't feel that way about AJ. AJ comes down, he's going to get fucking booed.
You put Samoa Joe down there, he'll get some.
You're right.
Or like,
Samoa Joe, they'll go bonkers over Samoa
Joe. Or Shinsuke or Rusev or, you know.
All those guys.
I think all even somebody guys. That.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I think even Daniel Bryan will get cheers because then he gets to work in like an indie environment.
Oh, yeah.
And Daniel was the king of the indies at one time.
Dan would be awesome down there. I mean, just the matchups. I like they let him and Gargano have a real fight, like a good 15-minute match. Oh, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay for that.
I want to see Brian Ciampa.
That'd be good, too. That'd be brutal. Yeah, either way, man. I just don't want Brian to hurt himself down there getting too excited.
I mean, he's one of those dudes you can put in the ring against anyone, and it'll be a great match, even if it's like they're stiffer than shit and can't move. I mean, just think, like he did, what's a guy that he wrestled that wasn't that good? There's a lot of them, actually. There is a lot of them. I don't think The Miz is a great wrestler, but he makes him look good. You know, he makes everyone look good. Didn't he wrestle Ryback once?
Yeah, he's wrestled so many people. I mean, that Brock Lesnar match this last year was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a size difference, and you don't even think about it. He made Brock look great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bryant's the real deal. He helped put Kofi over. I'm not knocking Kofi, but it really helped to be having those matches against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
To make you look good. So, good stuff. Daniel Bryan's the man.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it. We're going to wrap her up. We've talked a whole boatload because we're excited for this weekend. Yeah, we talked a boatload.
Yeah. I've been looking at the clock and I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, shit. We need Joey here to keep us on task. As always, follow and subscribe at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. Look for Nerdy Legion on your podcast apps. We've noticed that our Indie Alley apps are not updating. So to make sure you get our shows, go to the subscribe to Nerdy Legion on your app. And we're going to try to get this other thing hammered out. But till then, to make sure you don't miss anything, that'd be your best bet. You can follow our podcast page at Indie Alley. You can follow me at Real Comics. You can follow Fred at Comics Fred. And you can follow our secondary show, Nerds From, which is Nerds From the Underground. It's been on a bit of a hiatus. We have sick members, just like we got sick. I think Fred maybe passed his virus on to Johnny, too.
Yeah. So I'm a whore.
But that's all we have. Go ahead and take us out. Your partner list.
Oh, Steve, you got this? Yeah.
Yeah, wrestling's real. People are fake.